This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
So, my name is Erie, and I am from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I like to tell, when I tell people the story, I like to say it's my dream with a murderer. So, I am obsessed with ghosts. I used to think that I never had had a paranormal experience before, but as I've been listening to your show, I gradually realized that I have had paranormal experiences. I just never considered them experiences because I didn't see an apparition or a shadow figure. It had been touched by an entity until recently. So I am a psychic and a medium. I've been clairvoyant and clairaudient my whole life, which means that I experienced psychic events visually and audibly, but the mediumship didn't develop until I was 30. Basically, I just started meditating more and more, and then eventually, one night, all my loved ones who had been deceased came through, and the resounding message was, "We're so glad you can finally hear us." So my story starts with a friend of mine mentioning that her house was haunted. She said that she would hear people in the kitchen when no one was in the kitchen. She would go into rooms and see things moving slightly on their own, and once her and her roommate saw an orb, like they saw an orb come through their house and out into the backyard. So I just started to offer my gifts to others, and since I love ghosts, I was very excited to go to her house on a ghost hunt. The information I knew about her house was that it was located in the central part of Sioux Falls and then moved to the outside part of Sioux Falls. And I also knew that her dad had passed away in her home a few years ago. The activity had been happening prior to his passing, but seemed to be getting more active after his passing. My gut instinct is that her dad stuck around and there was another entity in the home as well. We agreed on a date and a time for me to come over and do the reading on the house and to do some audio recording as well. I'm very good at doing distance sessions versus doing a session in person. And I can explain that in our time, kind of like the ins and outs of that. But since I was to go to her house on a Wednesday night, I decided to do a distance session on Sunday night prior to just to prepare myself for what was really residing in the house. So Sunday night, I'm in the shower, which is where I get some of my best thinking done. I conducted my distance session. The first thing that happened to me was I immediately got a rush of cold air at my chest while a voice said to me in a deep whisper, "I'm not leaving." And it's important to note that the cold air wasn't because someone opened the door, walked by the shower. The shower we have has doors on it and not a curtain. So the voice tells me they're not leaving, and I'm like, whoa. No one said anything about leaving. I'm just here to check you out and see who you are. So the voice, immediately I got the impression that this is a male spirit in his 50s or 60s and just an overall like a grumpy old man type spirit. I said that I was coming over on a Wednesday and I needed to know who they were and how I could help. They kept repeating over and over and over that they were not leaving. I wasn't going to kick them out and that there was nothing I could do about it. So I politely told them that I wasn't here to kick them out, and I promised them. I said, then he kind of relaxed a little bit, and then he gave me a download of information about himself. And when I get a download, I think other people have mentioned this before, but it's basically like all the information comes at you super fast and all at once. Basically, he was a father and a husband. He screwed up a lot in his life. He was embarrassed for all of the things that he did, and because of that, he did not deserve to move on. He said he was staying here because this was his lot in life. He was too embarrassed to face his kids, most specifically his daughter, and there was nothing that I could do to convince him to move on. So I was like, at this point, I'm like, okay, I got it. He feels sorry for himself that he screwed up. I said, come on now. There's nothing that anyone has done that is so bad that it couldn't be forgiven. He assured me that what he did was so fucked up that he deserved to stay here. So he kept repeating the feelings of being ashamed and his daughter not being able to face her. He mentioned nothing about his wife, though, but I knew he was married at one point. My friend's parents were divorced, so I assumed that this was her father, which was a big mistake because you should never assume anything. So I told him I'd be over on Wednesday, and I kind of sent him a visualization of what my recording device looks like and just to speak into the recorder. He was still kind of grumpy about it, about me coming over and continually just like begged me, please don't come over, please, 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 and that he just absolutely wasn't leaving. But I ended my session. My session with him was just more questions than answers. So the night before, I have to go to my friend's house. I end up having the absolute craziest dream. I am standing on a dirt road in front of my church, and I'm barefoot. In front of me is a demon-like entity, and I need to exorcise it. I cannot look at this entity, though. My body won't allow me to actually like lift my head up and look at this demon head on. But I'm super terrified, and I needed to work fast. I rush into the church's chapel, where back behind all of the pews, they have a basket of rosaries for the public to take for free. FYI, Catholic Church. I don't know if that matters. Anyways, the beads are all different colors, and I knew I needed a specific color of beads for the exorcism to be successful, white or black. I couldn't remember. And FYI, this most likely isn't a thing, but in my dream, this was significant. I grabbed each color and rushed back out into the front of the church and onto the dirt road again. I stood my ground and realized I couldn't remember the exorcism prayer. So I just did the only thing that I knew that could come to my mind, and I just started screaming, "The power of Christ compels you," over and over and over again, until this demon finally dissipated, and then I woke up, and I was just absolutely terrified. And I knew in that moment someone or something was trying to keep me away from her house. And I should also mention that when I woke up, I just still felt kind of an entity kind of leering over me, just kind of like seething and just breathing heavy. I didn't feel any breath, but like I just had that sense that something was still kind of there. And then eventually that just kind of dissipated. So the next day, I get to my friend's house and I do my session. I asked about her dad, and she basically told me that her dad was a sweet guy and totally at peace with his passing, not at all a grumpy dude. So now I'm confused. So I'm like, I explain to her the dream, and her roommate goes, "What if it's Steve?" And I'm like, "Whoa, who's Steve?" And she goes, "That's Steve," and points to an urn. And I'm like, "Whoa, now I'm intrigued." So here's the story. Back in December 2008, Steve went to visit his wife at work. She wanted him to meet her in her car, which is where she served him with divorce papers. Steve was a pretty angry guy and knew this was coming. So instead of accepting the divorce papers, he ends up shooting her and killing his wife, then committing suicide himself. They had two kids, a boy and a girl. My friends ended up, and now you're like, well, how did your friends end up with the ashes, which is kind of weird. But my friends ended up with his ashes because the sister of one of their parents didn't want his ashes around because she didn't want to have to explain to the kids who the urn was and who was in there. Sorry, the aunt of the kids. So like one of the victim's sisters, I hope that makes sense. Sorry. So instead of having it in her house because it creeped her out and she didn't want it there to explain to the kids, she gave it to my friends. So I staged their house, said a prayer. I didn't ask for Steve's spirit to move on since he didn't want that yet, but I asked for all the bad energy to be cleared out and bless the home. And I didn't hear back from my friends as far as if his spirit had moved on or not, but funny thing is that my friend was doing a spot on a radio show like 6 months later, and she actually mentioned me doing the clearing on our house and that she hadn't had any issues ever since. So I haven't had any weird dreams after that either. And then also, if you wanted to look up the crime that was committed, because it's on, you can look it up online. Just look up HSBC, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, murder, suicide, and that kind of gives you an idea of like who it was and what the situation was. That was my dream with the murderer, my first ghost hunt, and my first house cleansing. And thanks for providing a medium for people with paranormal experiences to speak on. It takes a lot of time and dedication to be able to do what you do. And, Jenny, I think it sounds like you kind of do a lot of producing for the show, too. And my husband and I, we're filmmakers, and I do a lot of producing, too, just kind of by proxy because, you know, your husband's obsessed with something, and so you kind of get stuck with jobs you never thought you were ever going to do. But like I said, I hope you realize how much your work, time, and attention is appreciated by many, many people. And thanks for listening to my story. Bye.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.